This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams and Glyn Lavender.
Hi, and welcome to episode 447 of Shutters Inc., the last episode before we disappear from the airwaves for about 5 weeks.
This is Bruce Williams. Much rejoicing about that.
Yeah. From shuttersincpodcast.com. And that there is Mr. Glyn Lavender from creativephotoworkshops.com.au. How are you?
Oh, you know, this could be our biggest listened-to episode of the year.
You think?
Because people say, yes, we're tuning in so they can hear them say, they're not going to be here for a few weeks.
Yeah, so well, I'm gone for 3 weeks, and then you're gone for how long?
I'm back at the end of September, end of August.
Oh, okay.
So we should only be 4 weeks out, I reckon.
Okay.
Something like that.
So first week of September, we should be back.
Yes, absolutely.
Nice.
Boys, can I just before we get started?
Yeah,
I'd like to wish you all a big ginganguly.
A what?
A big ginganguly.
What's that?
Oh, Bruce. Bruce.
Yeah.
You don't know what a ginganguly is.
I do not.
As in ginganguly, guly, 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 watch a gingangoo.
No idea.
Gingangoo. Oh my goodness. It's the scout song. Today is World Scout Day.
Oh, I was never a scout. Neither was Max.
There's no excuse. This heritage, this is culture.
Right.
Ginganguly is a song made up by Sir Lord Baden-Powell himself.
Who?
Baden-Powell, this dog.
Let's get back to photography.
He's the bloke who started the scouting movement in the world back in 1907.
Right.
Here's the thing you didn't necessarily know. You didn't know the other stuff.
You
either.
Mean add to the list of things I didn't know?
His sister started the Girl Guides.
Is that right?
Absolutely. Right. And so on the very first ever World Jamboree, which is currently there's a World Jamboree going on in the United States at the moment. It's in Washington, I think.
Right.
I think there's 45,000 scouts there. From 170 nations, which is quite impressive.
Wow.
But in 1920, when the first ever World Jamboree was held, and I don't know how many nations were there at the time, but obviously there was a language barrier.
Okay.
And so Baden-Powell made up this song called Ginganguly, all of nonsense words.
Right.
Because it transcended language and everyone could join in the sing together and be in harmony.
Right.
Nice. So, yeah, I'm wishing everyone a big Ginganguly, so I'm wishing everyone a bit of harmony.
Right.
Ah, the Philistines. So today was World Scout. So we just literally 10 minutes ago came back from campfire night.
Right.
Which is what you do every World Scout Day.
Right.
All the scouts around the world get together and have a campfire and sing songs, including the famous Ginganguly, Guly, 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 Watcha.
Right. Yeah. Excellent.
So,
cool.
Yeah, but you know what else I've been doing this week?
What's that?
I've been listening to a whole stack of podcasts.
Oh, okay. What have you been listening to?
Well, not ours.
No, obviously.
Nothing photographic related, of course.
Oh, okay.
So be silly. If I wouldn't listen to ours, why would I listen to somebody else waffle on about photography? No, I've been listening to a Tragically Hip podcast.
Oh, okay.
Fully and completely. And you've got to know. It's like, imagine the best Bruce podcast in the world.
Right. I don't even know if there is one, but anyway.
I know, but if there was,
yeah,
it's that, but for this band.
Yep. Right.
Because this band, of course, is better than Bruce.
Is the band, well, we'll leave that for another day, but is the band involved in the creation of the podcast, or is it simply fans of the band?
No, because the lead singer's dead.
Oh, okay. Well, that stops him from being involved.
Yeah, he's not having as much to say as he wanted.
Right.
I think an upcoming episode 10, the guitarist and lead singer's best friend is on the podcast. So I think they're accepting of it.
Yeah, nice.
Because I mean, you know, there's never been a band in the history of the world that's had more impact on a country than the Tragically Hip on Canada.
Right.
And there's never been a band in the history of the world that's released music for as many years without a single dud record. And you can't say that of your Bruce. Because your Bruce was, we had the late 80s, early 90s. You know?
Again, we'll leave that discussion for another day.
And you can't say it for like the Rolling Stones. I mean, let's just forget everything since 74, 74. So if you are an aficionado, and this part's podcast is great, because it's actually nice to listen to a podcast. You can kind of hear how people banter.
Yeah.
And you hear stuff that kind of irritates you.
Yep.
Like the guy on the other end talking when I want to talk, sort of stuff. They seem to talk over each other a little bit sometimes, and that's passion. And I've said this to I talked to them both, and the guys running it, and said, you can see a shared passion and enthusiasm, but the enthusiasm sometimes trips you over because you kind of – and the other person doesn't necessarily ever get to finish that thought they're about to say. And what if it was really good? So, Bruce, what I'm asking, mate, is if you could just not interrupt me as much and let me, not be quite so quiet.
Okay.
Give me a bit more airtime is what I'm asking for.
Right.
Yeah. So that's a great podcast, fully and completely, if you like a bit of quality. And if you don't know the band, you want to learn why it's so good. There you go.
Right.
Yeah, listen to that one. And I will say, their last ever concert, and I've said this, I'm sure, before in the podcast, was broadcast live across Canada, and two-thirds of the nation stopped to watch it.
Right.
I mean, 20-odd million people out of a country of 28 million people stopped and watched this concert. It's like most of Australia stopping to watch, I don't know, a Slim Dusty concert or something, I don't know, whatever.
Well, I was going to say the final Crowded House concert on the steps of the Opera House.
Yeah, but see, that if you've got 1.5 mil viewers in that, you've got 10% of Australia's population, maybe, would have watched that.
Mm.
And let's not forget, this is a New Zealand band.
But anything good out of New Zealand, we claim as our own.
Of course, anything good, yeah. All the bad stuff, like when they do something wrong. Remember when Russell Crowe threw that phone in the hotel? He was a New Zealander then.
Yes, that's right.
When he was in that that Gladiator movie, he was Australian then.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. I wonder if other countries have similar things like that, similar rivalries. Does America and Canada, Like Dan Aykroyd is an example. He's Canadian.
Right.
But most people might take him as being American until he does something stupid.
Right.
Then he's back to being Canadian again.
Yeah.
Interesting. So I've been listening to a lot of podcasts.
Cool.
I've been actively and ardently and watching for the last 7 of the last 9 days, my UPS shipping label saying created, and that's it, not moving.
Right.
That was on the 23rd, and the 24th it was still there, the 25th it was still there, 26th, 27th, 28th, 29th, 30th. And what the hell? Finally, yesterday it started moving. I think it was 8 days of no movement.
Nice.
And my NAR box has hit the shores of Australia.
Excellent.
I've been posting on Facebook the UPS shipping, because I know everyone's as interested as I am.
Of course they are.
Every single movement on UPS tracking, it's moved from here to here. It's gone to customs. It's cleared customs. It's been scanned here. It's moved to there. It's been scanned out of there. So every single one, and I put the post up today, every move you make, every breath you take, I'll be watching.
I saw that.
So it's finally landed in Australia. Theoretically, it's supposed to arrive sometime before end of business Monday.
Right.
Which, of course, I'm probably bound to have to be busy and won't be around and won't arrive or some stupid thing like that. But here's the thing, though. I'm not allowed to talk about it or show it when it arrives.
Oh.
Because it's still under embargo. I think until September
1.
Ah. I know. So it's like the people go, oh, the parcel's fine here. What is it? Oh, I can't tell you. Of course, I'm sharing with our lovely Shutter Zinc, because there's no one here listening.
Right.
just me and you.
Yeah.
And these fictitious people you keep making up, like Carl and Adam and all your other personas. speaking of your fictitious friend Adam, did we hear from him this week about him filling in whilst I'm away?
Not a word.
Okay, so we might not be gone for the whole month, remember, because there might be popping.
That's true.
Keep an eye out for that. So, anyway, I was out and about today, and a couple of momentous things happened.
Oh, okay.
Took a chance. I texted the head guy at Tamron Australia and said, look, what's the chances of the new 35 arriving, 35 1.4, arriving before I go to Africa? And he sends back a picture of him holding one. And I go on, sent back a reply, are you in Victoria? He was in Perth on the weekend, so I asked, are you in Victoria or Perth? He goes, Victoria. Physically, mentally, not physically. I was out and about. I said, I'm half an hour away. Can I come and get it? He's going, of course you can.
Nice.
So I've got there, and he told me, he said, if you'd texted 5 minutes later, it would have been gone, because we only had 6. They're all invoiced out. All the shipping labels have been created already. And then you text it, I've gone, oh, damn it. And he pulled one of somebody's order. So, wow. So somebody in Australia is missing out on having it because of me. I've got to tell you, Bruce, yeah, in the depth of my heart, that makes me feel good.
Yeah, I'll bet.
That makes me, yeah, those poor suckers. They're probably waiting for a trip themselves and but stuff them. So I've got my 35 1.4 and took my eldest daughter out for a quick 6 or 7 minute shoot.
Yep.
In absolute crud light, just flat. Now, yep. 5 o'clock at night on a day, on an overcast day when the sun sets at 5:30.
Yeah.
So you can imagine the light I'm working with.
Yeah.
A couple of quick shots and, nothing conclusive. Yeah, to know if it's any good or not. But with the exception, of course, that trying to shoot with the 35mm lens as a portrait lens is a whole new ball game. It's a whole new world vision from what I'm used to. You know, I'm used to shooting much, much wider or much, much tighter.
Yeah.
So it's kind of skewed. And shooting a small subject doesn't help.
Yeah.
You know, a little kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's tougher than a full-grown adult, yeah, because of dimensions and stuff.
Yeah, right.
So I've got a workshop up in a middle of country Victoria town called Horsham tomorrow.
Oh yeah,
not tomorrow. On Saturday, not tomorrow.
Yeah.
Which when this podcast comes out was yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Just to get that nice and clear. So I'm going to take it up there and give it a bit of a hurl up there and see how we go.
Nice.
Yeah. So I'm looking for it. But whilst I was out and about, I spent my own money on a camera.
You did not.
Did. Okay. I spent actual cash.
Okay.
Real genuine money.
Okay.
Even though, because trust me, I hit the importer up significantly to try and get a freebie.
Right.
But no such thing. They were prepared to loan me one for a month, but you know, who wants that?
What's the camera?
I got myself a DJI Osmo action camera.
Oh, nice.
So this super action, super steady cam,
yep.
Yeah, front screen, back screen, I don't know, yeah, all the good stuff.
Yeah, cool.
Because when the Narbox arrives, it's got this great video capabilities.
Yep.
As well as photos. So I want to be able to do some video editing and stuff whilst I'm away and post some little African videos.
Sweet.
In the hope of enticing a few people to come in February.
Yeah, cool.
So I spend my own cash there and then I've got something a little embarrassing to say, Bruce.
Oh, okay.
I bought something else.
Yeah.
But I'm sure I can say it, and I'll say it. I bought a selfie stick.
You what?
I bought a selfie stick.
You bought something?
I bought a selfie stick.
I have no idea.
A selfie stick.
Oh, a selfie. Oh man!
I'm gonna be one of them, Bruce.
That's embarrassing.
I'm gonna be one of them with a selfie stick.
Yeah.
I'm gonna have to do some pieces to camera, so I'll kind of need it for that. So that's my excuse.
Yeah, for sure.
But the real reason I got the selfie stick is I want to. Because you can't get out of the vehicles very much.
No.
Because there's things that'll kill you.
Yes.
So I want to stick my arm out and put the extended pole down and have some low angle footage, you know, of the vehicle and stuff.
Right.
And so I figured that's probably going to help somewhat.
You could just hold the camera and lean your arm out the window, mate. You know, it's not that hard.
I need even more lower than that.
Well, you just lean your head and shoulders out the window and lean down with...
Even more lower than that.
Right.
And then my belly doesn't get through the window or it gets halfway and I'm stuck and the lion's going, oh, look, Meals on Wheels. Look at that. So, yeah, you know. So I got myself a damn selfie stick, which is somewhat embarrassing.
Yeah.
So I have to try and learn how to use it.
Right.
I tried screwing the thing to the thing and it still flops all over the place. So I don't know how to make it go tight. This is how...
This is where your 5-pack of adjustable spanners will come in very handy.
Well, you'd think, wouldn't you? But there's nothing to adjust. And if I can only find them. Yeah.
Right.
Damn. So, how's your week been? I hear you've been taking some photos.
I have. I've had a couple of shoots.
You sent me some, and I didn't look at them.
Oh, okay.
But until now, until we go live.
So at about 5 o'clock on Sunday night,
yeah.
Tegan posted on her Facebook, does anyone want to get together for a shoot tomorrow morning because I've had a cancellation? And I responded and said, yeah, I'd be happy to do something. Can we...
And then she messaged back saying, no, what is someone good?
Yeah. And she'd said somewhere within half an hour of Budgie Boy. And I said, can we...
Wait. Let's step back here for our international listeners.
Right.
Half an hour of where?
Away from Budgie Boy, which is a suburb here on the Central Coast.
Budgie Boy.
Budgie Boy is about half an hour north of where I am.
And what's your suburb called? Inglebongle?
East Gosford. And so I said to her, I said, look, I'd be happy to do something. Can we maybe go north? Because
north
I'm
the Budgie Boy.
Yes, because I'm working at Newcastle. And so if we can, you know, head a little bit towards Newcastle, then it just means I'm closer to Newcastle and I can shoot till about 9 o'clock and then I'll have to make tracks.
Shoot longer because you're closer.
Yeah, that's right. So so she said, okay, well, how about Catherine Hill Bay? And I said, yep, sure. It's quite a popular photographic spot because it's got this really long, curved industrial jetty that's no longer in use.
Yeah. I see you put that to good use in the photos you sent me.
No, I did not.
Yeah, no. So you went to the place that's really famous for the thing and used the photographs of the thing.
That's correct.
Just checking.
So, yeah, so did a quick shoot with her for an hour and a half from 7.30 till 9, which was later than I would have preferred to be shooting. I would have rather have been up there an hour earlier so that, you know, we were there as the sun rose and got sort of much lower angled sunlight than what we were shooting in. So it meant having a lot of fill flash just to, you know, tone the shadows, you know, bring the shadows up a bit.
Phil,
there you go. Our mate Phil, yeah. So did that Monday morning, and then Lucia, my boss at Newcastle, had said to me, I think it might have actually been on Monday, she said, oh, a woman who used to be on air at ABC Newcastle, and I can say what I'm about to say because it's all public knowledge, she contracted ovarian cancer, and as a result of that, she's no longer at work. But she's doing okay. And Australian Story, the ABC current affairs, I don't know if you'd call it current affairs, but, you know, that show, Australian Story, is doing a segment on this lady, Jill, who used to be on air in Newcastle. And the producers of Australian Story had got in touch with Lucia and said, have you got someone up there who can do a couple of portraits of Jill for us, like stills? And
so no one available, but we've got this guy called Bruce.
Yeah, and so she'd said to me, yeah, would you be cool to do this later in the week? And I said, yep, no worries. So it was organised.
Do you do this on work time?
Yeah.
Are you being paid? Oh, good.
Yeah. And so she said, we'll do this Wednesday. And I said, yep, no worries. And she said, I'll drive you out to Jill's place and introduce you and yada, yada. And she said, they'll provide specs of what they want. And I said, okay, fine. And they said, we want, you know, a couple of portraits, you know, one smiley, one not smiley. And, yeah, so took the camera along and looked in the house that she lives in. Her and her husband renovated only in the last 12 or 18 months, and it just looked really nice. It, you know, photographed really well.
Yeah.
So I decided I'd do everything indoors. I wouldn't do anything outside. You know, found a couple of angles that I liked, metered for the background to be stop and a half under, and then just had Lucia hold my flash with a small 20 centimeter collapsible softbox on the flash, yeah, meter and a half away from Jill, and yeah, fired off a few portraits, and got word back today that the producers of Australian Story are absolutely stoked with the portraits that I shot of Jill, and could they have the name of the photographer so that they could give me credit? So that was nice. Oh,
fabulous.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, because obviously they weren't expecting much. And, you know, like we talked about last week with the newspaper guys, yeah, the guy does the words, they're making him take the photos.
Yeah.
He can do the words. But in all reality, I mean, they're not necessarily expecting
that kind quality. Of portrait. Yeah, yeah.
Or quality, even. Or even, you know, well-lit or even well-composed. Or, you know,
yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, what it's like, we've seen enough bad photos in that time to know, well, that's probably more the norm than what you got.
Yeah.
But let's get back to her in a minute, because I want to talk about your bikini babe.
Beach, okay.
Babe.
Yeah.
Whatever. Tegan.
Yeah.
Is that her name? Tegan.
Yeah, Tegan.
So you sent me three photos. Let's have a little gander here. Photo number one.
Yeah.
I was looking just a minute ago, then I had to answer another email and I've lost it.
Yeah.
There we are. Is we've got like a denim jacket and yep. a denim shirt and like a white bikini on.
Yep.
That's really good.
Okay.
Photo number two.
Right.
She's under, I'm assuming, that pier you were talking about.
Correct.
There you go. So you did use it.
Yeah.
In a red bikini.
Yes.
With a thing tied around the middle.
A black denim jacket.
Why?
I don't know why, because she got sick of wearing it, I guess.
So I'm going to do a bikini shot and shove something that makes her ass look about 18 times bigger than it normally is. This big black mess.
Okay.
So I like the shot, other than that.
Right.
I think the black jacket was a mistake.
Okay.
And the last one you sent to me, of Elaine on the beach, I don't mind it. There's a couple of weird. The big distraction is the backgrounds.
Okay.
So the backgrounds. You've got that little splash of blue water.
Yep.
I'd probably eliminate that because it throws balance there. But then you've got that shaded bit of sand.
Yeah.
That gives a straight line that goes straight into her head.
Yep.
That's just kind of blows that just a bit.
Mm.
So what I would do, I would actually crop considerably tighter on the photo.
Right.
Chop the top of her head off. In fact, I'm going to text it to you as we. I've just done a quick phone grab and phone, just to solve those problems. And what it does by doing that as well is it brings her as a person more into the shot. Then she's a bit more distant, obviously, in the less cropped one. Yeah, this makes it a little bit more about her as a person rather than her as a body.
Okay,
kind of thing,
right.
If that makes sense. So, did you get that little photo I sent through to you?
No. Where'd you send it?
I texted it to you.
Up there it is. Just came through. Okay, yep, fair enough.
So see, that solves the line going through the head in the background.
Mm-hmm.
It solves the blue water.
Yep.
And it just makes her face a bit bigger in the photo. So yeah, to me now, the focus goes a little bit more to her face.
Right.
You, the way you look at it, you kind of flow up to her face and it's a little bit more about her.
Right.
Than the previous one where it's a little bit more about the whole, if you know what I mean.
Okay. Yep.
Makes sense?
Okay.
Yeah. So, good job. Well done.
Thank you.
Now, the ABC portraits.
Mm-hmm.
The first one, where is it? I'm going to open it again here and get this bikini babe off the screen. The one with the red couch, you're shooting up her nostrils, she's looking down at you, all hoity.
Yep.
Love it. one of the best shots of yours I've ever seen by leaps and bounds, dude.
Thank you.
That's a fabulous shot.
Wow.
I mean, it's a fabulous.
That's a big call.
I would enter that into a photo competition if I were you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because there's so much character and strength and resilience. Not knowing any of the story you said before looking at the photo is strikingly good.
Right.
And it's the sort of photo that would be, you know, very appealing in that sort of context of competitions. So, well done. That's awesome, dude.
Thanks, man.
You should be suitably impressed with yourself there.
I was happy with it. I have to give credit to her. I mean, she brought the face.
Yeah, because the next one's crap.
And she is that kind of person. Like, she is very strong and
a bit haughty, you know, a bit.
Well, I don't know. I'd only met her 5 minutes before. But
there's another talent in itself, though, when you say that.
Yeah.
You've got to meet this person.
Yeah.
And in but a couple of minutes, try then capture an image of her that reflects her somewhat.
Yeah.
Not easy to do.
No.
You know? And, I think that shot's masterful. I think it's just beautiful.
Oh, thank you. So what don't you like about the other one?
Only everything.
Okay.
No, it's the problem is you've done everything right as far as lighting. The lighting's great and all that sort of stuff. The lips and the teeth, it's not a good smile.
Right.
You're better at either lips together or a proper full-on smile, not that kind of I'm biting my bottom lip kind of look.
Right.
And I just think the background is – so first up, she's got the ribbon on her chest, which is obviously a survivor ribbon.
Yep.
It's incongruous with the kitchen.
Okay.
I don't get why this ribbon here, and she's standing. Is she a chef that's raising money? It all goes wrong to me. She's a journalist and a presenter. So the previous shot, she's in a library. Yeah, she's got books and intellectual stuff behind her.
Okay,
which translates to but the kitchen just I don't know. It jars at me.
Okay.
I think it's good.
I guess my mindset with that first, like what I consider the first image, which is the smiling shot in the kitchen, was that I was trying to get an environmental portrait of her in her own environment.
Yeah.
That's where I was going with
it. Of course, she's a woman. She's in the kitchen.
No, that is not what I'm saying.
Excuse me, can you take your shoes off and get the kitchen so I can take the first shot, please?
So, I mean, that's just where my head was at with the composition and the smile.
So how long between this shot and the second shot?
Oh, 3-4 minutes.
Funny how she's settled down, isn't it? Because this is fake smile, over the top.
But the thing is, we did both. Like we did smiley shots and serious shots at both locations, like in the kitchen and on a couch.
But this looks so.
Yeah. Right. Okay.
Yeah. It's the body language is rigid.
Right.
She's rigid in her body. She's forcing the happiness. It's like, I'm having my photo taken. I must be happy. Kind of, it's got all that kind of, and, that to me is very indicative of you meet someone, within a couple of minutes, you've got to start taking photos of them.
Yeah.
And make it, and, you're both at unease. You're both trying to find the dynamic. You're both trying to understand the flow of how to do this together.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to me, all that shows in the photo. The second one, even though it's just a few minutes down the track, and once again, this not forcing an expression, a smile, is because the face is more relaxed. It seems more comfortable as a shot.
Right.
Yes, she's now she's sort of her body is rigid, but it's rigid in pushing herself up in strength.
Yeah,
rather than there's all these subtleties that come out to me in the difference between the two shots.
Yeah, right.
And once again, there's really nothing. If you had sent that second shot to them, they would have gone, "Oh, that's really good, great."
Yeah,
and much better than we expected. Really good, great. It's the second shot that's blown them away.
Right.
It's the second shot is full on a pro portrait photographer.
Oh, thank you.
Shot. And that's partly you and partly her, of course, as any good portrait should be.
Yeah.
So well done, dude. I've got, Thank you. Just to show the listeners, I'm not always an asshole. No, but I've always said I'll never say anything nice about anyone's photo unless I mean it.
Yep.
So if I say it, it's because for what it's worth, I mean it. I feel it. Yeah, I think you've done a brilliant job. So
thank you.
Well done, you.
Nice.
Yes. So anyway, that's enough about us.
Yeah.
Enjoy your trip and talk to you in September.
Just about. Should we cover some stories?
Do you have anything?
Yeah. I sent you a bunch of stuff before we started.
Let's pretend. Oh, yes. Listeners, see, the Fully Completely guys, they would have got it all. They have rehearsals, Bruce.
For who?
The Fully Completely podcast, the music podcast I've been listening to. They have rehearsals.
Do they?
They have a running sheet about what they're going to say.
Right.
Yeah, and then they pretend when it comes to the real thing that it's just starting to happen.
Right.
So I say, have you got anything for us, Bruce? Why? Why, yes, I do. I found these fabulous things I thought you might be interested in. Maybe the listeners will be too. what have you got there, Bruce?
I grabbed a couple of things from Will Shipton's email this week.
Did you?
The first was the... and I picked this simply because I was chatting with the guy from CASA only a couple of episodes ago about the drone registration plans that are coming into effect in Australia. And it has come out this week that the introduction of those registration plans has now been pushed back to later in the year. So for anyone who's into the whole drone thing and is probably facing the need to have to get registered at some point in the near future, you've got a couple of months of breathing space. So just thought I'd put that in there. And the other one that I grabbed was all about the release of the Sony RX100 Mark VII.
Yeah, I mean, that's not confusing. Numbering system. Come out with any number, people. Shouldn't this just be RX700 now?
Wouldn't you think? Just so up it by 100 each time, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Or 10, if you don't want to go to such big numbers.
Yeah.
RX100, RX110, 120, 130. Gives them more numbers to work with. Eventually they'll get to 200.
That's right. Yeah. So, yeah. What a great looking little camera. I'm kind of...
They are very good.
Kind of thinking, I wish I was taking this to Sri Lanka.
They are damn good.
This thing, for those who haven't seen it, is a 20 megapixel camera in a tiny little form factor with a built-in Zeiss 24-200 f2.8 to f4.5 zoom lens. What a great range for a travel camera.
Sure is.
That's just awesome. And, you know, and shoots 4K video, of course.
And does 20 frames per second of blackout-free shooting.
Yeah, well.
So you're not going to black out while shooting, which is pretty good. They can guarantee that sort of stuff.
That helps you to take better shots if you don't black out.
Surely. What amazes me, though, is the correlation between increased frame rate and chances of blacking out. Many a time I've shot 8 or 9 frames a second. I mean, I've never done 20 frames a second, but I've never heard
of someone blacking out.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, the fact that they found that this is a problem.
Yeah. So there you go. Carl sent us an interesting one from Petapixel. This photographer put a full wet plate photography darkroom on a tricycle. This guy, Mikhail Tarat, comes from Bordeaux in France, and he's got this 4-inch by 5-inch medium format camera, and he's built this whole, you know, wet plate darkroom on a tricycle, and he rides around Bordeaux. And what I find really interesting is this guy is happy to photograph anybody for no charge. Mm-hmm. You pay if you want to keep the plate.
Oh, I've seen those kind of cons before, haven't you?
Well,
you go to a restaurant, yeah, and then also okay, there's a photographer going around the room, happy sure, medium photo company. The end of the night.
There's a big difference between we're going to run off a print on some, you know, El Cheapo photo paper off our inkjet printer out the back of the restaurant, compared with a guy producing wet plates. You know, I mean, that's got to be a much more expensive medium to produce, surely.
You'd imagine so.
Yes. But anyway, there's a great little video that shows the whole procedure taking place, and yeah, I just thought that was cool.
I think he's got Tourette syndrome.
Boom, boom. Adam sent us a few stories. The first one is this.
Is that he's going to be on the podcast in 3 weeks' time?
Somehow I doubt it. This $10,000 worth of Sony gear cost $500 thanks to Amazon's glitch. Now, we covered this story a couple of weeks ago about Amazon having this pricing glitch with their Prime Day sales. And, you know, we were all speculating, would Amazon actually honour the massively discounted pricing that accidentally appeared on their website? And apparently it did. This guy ended up with... yeah, $10,000 worth of gear for $500. So
bargain.
Nice bargain, absolutely.
Lucky, lucky bastard.
That's right. The next one from Adam was, these are the winners of the 2019 iPhone Photography Awards. Gotta say, I'm not blown away by this stuff. There's one or two.
I like the first one.
Of the grand prize, Photographer of the Year, Gabrielle Sigliano. Yeah. Yep.
Good that.
Yep. The next one, there, whatever.
The second place Photographer of the Year with the...
yeah, the rained out the parade.
Rained out,
yeah. Whatever. Third one, I thought, was the best of those three, which looks like
it's from... is it really a photo?
It looks like it's from Burning Man.
Ah, yes, of course. So it looks like Lisa Sard's been out in the hot phone game.
And then I like the next one in the abstract. That was really cool.
Abby Stratt. Yep, she's good.
Yep. So anyway, there's a whole bunch there, and they're worth scrolling through.
Oh, the animal one's pretty cool.
The child.
With the peacock.
Right, with the peacock on the bench. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
Yep.
Oh, I've been to the next place.
Oh, yeah. Have you really?
Yeah.
Right. Where is it?
It's an astronomical observatory.
What?
In India.
Oh, the yellow one?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it's a very cool place to shoot.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, the kid one's okay. The rest are all pretty, Yeah.
There's moments of brilliance in there, but there's a lot of just ordinary stuff.
But once again, take with phones. There's some good stuff for phones.
Exactly. And I don't know
probably the best one is the people photo.
It's like a guy
watching golf.
Yes.
And it looks like he's standing on his head, the tiny man standing on his head. That's pretty darn funny.
That's great. I really liked that one. Very fun. Yeah. So anyway, I will put that in the link for anyone that wants to have a little chuckle at some of those photos. And the next one was quite predictable. Canon's camera profits plummet 64% in latest financial report.
Yowza.
I'm pretty sure we covered a very similar story about 12 months ago. And I think the numbers were about the same then. Dear. So
yeah, down, deeper and down.
Yeah, exactly. The guy who wrote this blog post, John Aldred, is obviously not a Canon fan. The last paragraph says, so Canon definitely needs to step up. Their current mirrorless offerings aren't good enough for many pros, but aren't cheap enough for many enthusiasts. But it's always the competition's fault. Or smartphones. At least, according to Canon.
They, from what I've been gathering, they have a pro mirrorless coming. I mean, and I'm talking pro well above anything anyone else has got.
Right.
Like a Canon 1DX Mark II or, the top of the range pro.
Yeah, right.
Full-on mega. So if that's true, that could arrest things quite quickly for – but maybe we're going to be talking about it. Yeah.
Yep.
$6,000 body, not a cheap camera. So it's a different part of the market altogether.
Yeah, but then we're on to your list.
Oh, I got bugger all, dude. But I did see though that Topaz, software manufacturer have brought out Topaz Studio 2. So we're always talking about getting out of the Adobe world and the options.
Yep.
But one thing that I thought I'd put it out there because it's on special in case anyone wants to look at. But one of the things I did like about it is that they've got an edge-aware brush.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so I think that's something I've never seen it in Photoshop. I've never learned how to use it. So having an edge-aware, so if people don't know, let's say you're trying to paint out around or darken an image around the outside of a person, let's say, or a building, it picks up there's an edge change there and stops before it goes into the skin of the person or the edge of the building or whatever. So
yeah, nice.
That's pretty good.
So does Topaz Studio sort of more take on Lightroom or more take on Photoshop or a little bit in between?
It would replace Lightroom.
Right.
Probably doesn't quite replace all Photoshop's heavy lifting, multiple layer stuff, things like that. But so it's definitely more a Lightroom replacement.
Yeah, right.
Now, the next one, this is fascinating. You'll love this one.
Oh, actually, hang on. Sorry, before we move on, Topaz Studio 2 is a non-destructive layer-based image editor. So that would put it more in the Photoshop camp.
Well, I don't know.
If it's layer-based.
I don't know.
Because anything like Darktable and Lightroom, they're not layer-based. You work on one image at a time.
Oh, is Darktable not, it's not like a GIMP or anything like that, hey?
No, it's not meant to be.
It definitely is. Let's say it's a combination of the two.
Yeah, right. Okay.
Because you've got masses of presets and all your normal sliders and stuff as well as things. So it could be a good option.
Cool.
I think it's on special for like 80 US bucks instead of 100, something like that.
And obviously that's something that you get to own outright, not a subscription.
Exactly. Yeah. So you're not paying there through the nose all the time.
No, I saw
this next thing, which I thought would be right up your alley.
Oh, yeah.
That someone's done a review of the camera shutter sounds. apparently Nikon's at the top and Leica's at the bottom, according to them. Now, of course, there's no way would I waste any of time in my very shortened life to listen to any of that. but I thought you might.
Okay, so Lens Rentals has just published a tongue-in-cheek review comparison of Shutter Sounds.
Lens Rentals are great. Roger Sakala, who owns it, is a Facebook mate of mine.
Right.
And yeah, they do some pretty funny stuff, so nice. It's always good.
I'll have to have a watch that.
My last thing is something I came across on Facebook during the week. Someone put it up on their page. And Leo Klein, my mate Leo Klein, who owns a company called Image Melbourne, who does all the cheap flash stuff and things like that, if you're ever looking for something like that. Anyway, it's a black and white photo that looks colour.
Yeah, right.
When you first look at it. And suddenly when you zoom in, do you very quickly realise that it's not a colour photo?
Yeah.
Right. It's got colour crosshatch overlays, basically.
Wow.
But it's amazing how completely it fools the eye and the mind to think the photo is colour.
Yeah, right. Wow.
So I thought that was cool.
That's very trippy.
Yeah, it certainly shows, you know, what the tricks the mind can do in looking at stuff, doesn't it?
Yeah, and there's a couple of samples. There's not just the one image. There's a second one as well. Yeah.
I've never seen the second one. Look at that. Probably looking at that.
Yeah, right. That is trippy.
Oh, yeah, there's a second one too, Bruce. It's a great photo. Oh. People looking at laptops in the classroom. It's brilliantly done.
Thanks for letting us know that there's a second image. That's great.
No, that's right. Yeah, that's what I'm here for. So inform and educate.
Excellent.
But that's cool.
Yeah.
That's it.
Nice.
That's
we are done.
We're done like a dog's dinner, which is awesome because that's like that little bit closer to being on holidays for
that's
you.
That's right.
And me actually having to go do some work.
Yes, exactly.
Oh, George.
George who?
George Georgiadis.
Oh, yeah.
I'll see you in Tanzania, dude. Couple of weeks. Two weeks today I'll be there, so I'll still be flying. I've got an 8-hour stopover in Singapore, which is just ridiculous.
Well, that's time to go into the city.
Yeah, but it's 6 p.m. till 2 a.m.
Oh, that's awesome time to be in the city.
You know how far away the city is from the airport?
Oh, it's like 40 minutes on the MRT.
Yeah, so it's 2 hours gone.
You're
going to get back to us in 2 hours. Oh, it's nuts.
Mate, we had a 6-hour stopover and we went into the city.
Really?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. And we walked around for a good hour and a half.
Well, maybe I will.
Seriously, it's worth doing, dude. Head down to Orchard Road.
I've been to Singapore a couple of times. I love the old Chinatown and Indian towns.
Yeah.
Maybe I will.
Oh, yeah. Early evening, you'd have an absolute hoot with your camera.
Shake a leg.
Yeah.
Who knows? We'll see.
Cool.
We shall see, my friend. Oh, and just one other thing to add.
Hmm.
As of June 1st, Tanzania has banned anyone taking plastic bags into the country.
Yeah, right.
So they search you at the airport. If you've got plastic bags, they'll take them off. And there's more and more. There's lots of countries now doing this. So
wow.
Interesting change to how we travel coming forward. Because I always had a couple of garbage bags in my bag to put dirty clothes, stuff like that.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I've always got bags for all sorts of bits and pieces.
Well, I was going to say, what if I've got, like, little Ziploc bags that have got stuff in them?
Apparently, if it looks to be the type of plastic bag that you intend to reuse or is holding something.
Right.
It's acceptable.
Oh, okay, cool.
It's any sort of bag that looks like, well, it's going to be used and then dumped.
Yeah.
Once inside it's gone, it's not allowed.
Okay. Oh, well, that's fair enough. I can understand them trying to do the right thing.
They don't want your waste.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Nice. So
keep an eye out for that, peoples.
Excellent.
That's it. Well, you, my friend, have an absolutely fabulous time in Sri Lanka. I can't wait to see your photos.
Intend to have a great time.
Good stuff.
So, and you enjoy Tanzania.
Well, if George isn't a total prick, it'll be okay. So it's true. Yeah. No, we're gonna have a ball, and hopefully we get to night one, the big pre-tour dinner. I'm in laying the law down to my little group, saying, "Guys, we've got to manage expectations.
Mm-hmm.
If you come away with one good photo,
yep,
one great photo, we've done pretty well. Then you look at you can't compare National Geo stuff to what we get the opportunities anyone else has, because we're not there for 2 years, for 20 hours a day, with 16 cameras set up in different spots, with remote triggers. It's a different world.
Yeah.
Hopefully we'll get a couple of cool shots and be happy and have a great experience. So
awesome.
All good.
Well, have fun, and we will
talk to you on the flip side.
Yeah. Talk to you early in September.
Yeah.
Have a good
Bye
one.
Bye, all.
See ya.
See you. Bye.
Shutters Inc. Another audiotu.com quality podcast. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.